Hello, this is Susan Smith Nash, and you're listening to eLearners.com. Today I'm going to talk about digital natives and e-learning. So, are you a digital native? If so, you may be experiencing the frustration that many digital natives feel when taking an online course from an institution that utilizes popular learning management systems such as Blackboard, WebCT, Desire to Learn, or even Angel or Moodle. The problem comes in because the procedures and behaviors that one would use when taking a class online through Blackboard or WebCT have very few points of contact with the kinds of experiences that digital natives are likely to have. Digital natives feel comfortable with just-in-time learning with video games. They discover, by trial and error, how to operate their phones, MP3 players, Game Boys, Xboxes, cameras, and laptop computers. They rarely, if ever, read a manual or go through the online tutorial or training session. Instead, they click buttons and move through menus. Mark Prinsky, who coined the phrase digital native, which he contrasts with digital immigrant, has quite a bit to say about it. According to his article, Digital Natives, Digital Immigrants, digital natives are our students today who are all native speakers of digital language of computers, video games, and the internet. Prinsky maintains that the activities engaged in by digital natives resulted in an alteration in natural cognitive functioning. He believes that the cognitive gap between those who feel comfortable with digital devices and those who do not creates real challenges and opportunities in education today. Similarly, with respect to software, digital natives are not likely to feel very comfortable with extremely rigid programs that do not allow one to search or customize. They'll be frustrated if they don't have the chance to make it their own and put in their own wallpaper and ringtones or whatever. So it's important to keep in mind that digital natives are used to using the internet in the following ways. They're used to gathering information and shopping online, iTunes, Amazon, eBay, Amazon Marketplace, news portals, etc. They are used to communicating via interactive programs, email, instant messages, blogs, podcasts, photo sharing, file sharing, social networking, on and on. They're used to making financial transactions online with bill pay, online banking, and they're used to researching their options. They're used to sharing files and information, music, movies, audio. However, digital natives are less comfortable with the data crunching and word processing computational tasks of older generations. For example, one cannot assume that a person who is comfortable with putting up a MySpace site will be extremely comfortable with creating spreadsheets or databases or with word processing. They probably have not been to training on Microsoft Office, nor have they learned how to do the complex tasks with web editing programs such as Dreamweaver. Instead, digital natives have been quick to take advantage of programs that promise quick results, and they are very comfortable with wizards and templates. So working between file sharing and social networking programs is second nature, and they find it easy to take advantage of programs such as Flickr, Picasa, Google Video, MySpace, LiveJournal, and then to organize and group the information using tags in programs such as Delicious, and to distribute using high-functionality email such as Gmail, Yahoo Mail, or Lycos Mail. Digital native users are not tied to a desktop computer. Instead, the information in the programs are often mobile, and users find innovative ways to make their equipment work for them. Smartphones, iPods, laptops, and to a lesser extent, such as PDAs and handhelds, such as the Dell Axim, characterize the digital native's arsenal. because digital natives have less experience with the kinds of software that programs that require extremely rigid protocols and which do not have much tolerance for non-standard behaviors, they are likely to become very frustrated with e-learning programs that do not encourage exploration and which cannot be customized in order to have a meaningful interaction with fellow students. The e-learning space, as envisioned by most learning management systems, is likely to feel extremely confining, and there will be a sense of isolation and frustration unless active steps are taken to proactively incorporate the kind of activities and options that are popular and currently used. Similarly, instructors who are used to being able to create a space that responds to the functions and information sharing needs in the real world will be very frustrated by learning management systems that do not allow any customization. Instructors will want, at the very least, to be able to add their own material, to modify discussion topics, upload content, incorporate podcasts and vodcasts, and to create a unique look and feel in the interface. The monitoring and activity monitoring reports that software companies promote as key value adds are likely to leave the average instructor completely uninterested. They would be more interested in the kinds of traffic reports generated by services such as FeedBurner and StatCounter. I've noticed that digital native is not really a matter of age group. It really has more to do with access and opportunity, which then translate to time with the toys. That's a fairly fey way to say that becoming fluent in technology has a great deal to do with the amount of time one spends actually using and exploring the digital devices, which include computers, games, telephones, MP3 players, smartphones, and devices of all kinds. What is perhaps the most poignant about this is that children and young adults who do not have access to the equipment are doubly penalized. They are assumed to be part of the digital native group, and so are treated as though they have been exposed to the equipment. But they haven't. Further, they're not given the kinds of scaffolding they need to be able to use the equipment once they have access to it, since it is assumed they already know how to use them. The key to me is not to develop courses that accommodate one type of learner or another. The most important factor, for me at least, is to find a way to incorporate the behaviors and values of real users of all ages. So we're talking about not accommodating a type of learner, we're incorporating the behaviors and values of real users. So until that occurs, the e-learning space will seem clunky, irrelevant, and at least two generations behind. Thank you very much for listening. This is Susan Smith-Nash, and you're listening to eLearners.com. Be sure to check out the video to the vodcast. Thanks.